Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and in our Bible School today, we're going to begin with our special feature, in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend our worship service on Sunday mornings, and in that is a synopsis of the sermon that I'm going to preach that day, and the title of the sermon this particular morning was, My Poor Sin Sick Soul. And it comes from a lesson that I preached on the 38th Psalm. Let me read that psalm to you to begin with. And I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version because that's the translation I usually use in my preaching. And in the little Bible that I'm looking at, it has a heading over this psalm. That this is a human heading, but it's kind of give you an idea about what this psalm is going to be about. It says, sins are a heavy burden. Now there's an inscription. The inscription says, this is a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Let me read it to you. Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupted because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of mine heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. My kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouths are no reproofs. For in thee, Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. They magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But thine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord my salvation. Now, let's read the bulletin article. My poor sin sick soul. The inscription above the 38th Psalm tells us that it is a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. The psalm reminds us that sin can make us sick physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually sick. All who are sick are not sick because of their own sin, but like a dreaded plague, the effects of sin reach us all. However, sometimes our suffering comes from our own iniquities. Some consequences we may take to our grave But there is spiritual healing and wholeness for the sin-sick soul. In the 38th Psalm, the singer is suffering because of his own sins. For he sings, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Psalm 38:17. As David begins this psalm, he's feeling the anger of the Lord. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Psalm 38:1. David describes his sickness as arrows stuck fast in him, and as a strong hand pressing him sore. There's no soundness in his flesh. There's no rest in his bones. He is as a man drowning with a heavy burden pulling him down. His wounds stink and are corrupt. He is troubled, bowed down, and mourning all the day long. His loins are filled with loathsomeness. There is no soundness in his flesh. He is feeble and sore broken. He roars and groans by reason of the disquietness in his heart. His heart panteth, his strength fails, and the light is gone from his eyes. Psalm 38:2-10. Well, continuing, adding to his misery, he is abandoned by his lovers and friends and kinsmen. In Psalm 38:11 we read, my lovers and my friends stood aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. But his enemies see an opportunity to take advantage of him in his weakness. Again, from this psalm, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. Mine enemies are lively, they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. In the 38th Psalm, David is a man with fears within and fears without. Against his accusers, he makes no defense. Psalm 38:13-14. I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was of a man that heareth not, and in whose mouths are no reproofs. But as all around his soul gives way, he makes his plea to God. In thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. For I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. This is a psalm that, as the inscription says, brings to remembrance. It brings to remembrance the seriousness of sin, the frailty of the flesh, the fickleness of friends, the villainy of enemies, and the grace of God. This psalm brings to remembrance the hymn, once for my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole. In my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Well, that was what the sermon was about at Rock Cliff. And if you had been there that morning, you could have heard that sermon and taken a copy of this bulletin home and had the review of that sermon in that bulletin. Now, I read on this program from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in class, what we have been studying and what we'll continue this class studying today is what Jesus taught us about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And we have come to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, where Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, Jesus says this in contrast with the prayers of hypocrites and the heathen. Jesus says to his disciples, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Not always in this form or these exact words, but in the spirit and with this purpose. Jesus, in his prayers, did not use this exact form or words as the occasion and conditions require according to the will of God and with all the elements, therefore, of acceptable prayer. He poured out his soul unto his Father. Jesus teaches his disciples not only to pray after this manner, but in praying to say, to speak to God. We may breathe a prayer to God or pray in silence, as did Hannah, who spake her heart while her lips moved in 1 Samuel 1:13. Yet we must pray. It is not enough to simply have the spirit of prayer. We're to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of his lips, which makes confession to his name, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Paul, and all godly men, and Jesus, expressed themselves in words to God when they prayed. This prayer is a divine model in brevity, simplicity, and comprehension. It embraces, one, the honor of God, two, the extension of his kingdom among men, three, the salvation of the human race, and four, our temporal and spiritual wants. "Our Father who art in heaven," the prayer begins, and this shows the tender relationship between God and the disciples of Jesus. "Behold," we read, "what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and as such we are." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. "For ye received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Romans 8 and verse 15. If we are children of God, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 and verse 17. Jesus shows that if a child can go to his earthly father for blessings, much more can we go to our merciful and all-wise Father in heaven. To address God as our Father is to acknowledge ourselves as his children and therefore under his control. "Hallowed be thy name." This is a prayer for the glory of God's name, that it may be held in reverence and awe by all. We read in Psalm 111 and verse 9, "Holy and reverend is his name." And in Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, "whereby we may offer sacrifice well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." In the next class, we're going to continue this study of the Lord's Prayer and see how this model can help guide us and teach us how we ought to pray to God. It's wonderful that we can address Him as our Father, and I hope your relationship with Him is such that you can too.